Greetings to you once again in Jesus' name, and thank you for taking time to listen to a daily inspiration out of God's Word. And as you're very familiar with me saying, without God's Word there would be no inspiration. It has to be inspired Word to give us inspiration. Men can be pretty amazing in their speeches, but to be inspired, truly inspired, we need God. And so I want to continue on something we've been looking at here of separation, because we all want to be separate and separated from this world. That's something I believe is in your heart calling in here, something that I'd like to see in my life and in my family, in the church. We are called out, and we are to be separated. And we've looked at a few little things there, and I'd like to take one more glance at this and just look at something that happened in the Old Testament as a good reminder of separation, a good separation. We talked about how sin will separate us from God. That will always be true. But here we're going to look at kind of a bright side here, and I want to catch you up a little bit. I'm going to be reading in Exodus, and as you know, the Israelites, the Hebrews, they were in bondage in Egypt. God brought them out. And he brought them through the Red Sea, destroyed Pharaoh's army. It's a great story. You probably know it by heart, but it's always good to go back and read that. God will show you something new each time you go through, I believe. It's just an incredible story. Well, we're going to pick up now. The children of Israel have gone through. There have been a few events that's happened. There's some complaining that goes on. God's people are very uncooperative and unbelieving, and it's starting to cause some friction here. And then they go up to Mount Sinai. God tells Moses, go up on the mountain. He spends 40 days, 40 nights there, long, long time. The people didn't know what to do. Moses was gone for 40 days. And so, anyways, you know the story. God told Moses to get down off the mountain. The people are in trouble. I'm paraphrasing here. And so Moses goes down, and here's the people. They've made some golden calves, and they're worshiping the golden calves. Now, this is like the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. Here's the people here. They've seen God do all these wonderful, mighty miracles. And now Moses goes away for a while, and they start worshiping something that's made with hands, this idols that they made, these golden calves. And God is just, he's very furious and upset. And I think you'll see that as we read here. Chapter 33 of Exodus. And I'm just going to read portions of this. You can go back and read the whole thing, but for sake of time, I'll just be glancing through here. I'll start in Verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt unto the land which I swear unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. God was fed up with the rebellion and the disobedience of his children, and he was just saying, I'm not going up with you. But he was keeping his end of the deal. He promised to Abraham he was going to do this, and God said, go ahead and go, Moses. Moses had pled for the people. And God said, okay, go on up. I'll send an angel before you. He'll drive out these enemies of yours, but I'm not going. And this was a real shock. It was like, this is the worst thing that can happen. And so to have an example of what's going on here, this is going to be a word picture for the Israelites. I'm going to skip down to verse 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, this isn't the tabernacle that that God had given him all the instructions to build up on the mountain. This is a different tabernacle here. Hasn't the grand tabernacle that they carried through around with them had not been built yet? But God, Moses was taking this tent and he set it outside the camp. This was a sign that God is no longer in the midst of us here. We go outside the camp. And it says here, continuing on in 7, and it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And I'll continue in verse 8 here. And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered, excuse me here while I get my place, as Moses entered into the tabernacle of the congregation, let me see here, that all the people rose up and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. Sorry, I just reread that. But, and it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. So you see here, this was a sign that, as I said, God has moved outside the camp. And the people are seeing that, wow, we have really, we've made a mistake here. And they're grieving now. And God told Moses, you tell the people they're stiff-necked and I'm just not going to go up with you. And so it was very sobering moment for them. And I'm going to skip down now to verse 14. It says, and he said, my presence shall go with thee. Moses pleading again for Israel. And God says now, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, Moses is speaking now, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou art going, that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Now, this is the separation. Here's what I really wanted to get to in all of this, in the separation. We know separation. We know some of the things, some of the steps we take to separate ourselves from this world. And that's good. That needs to happen. I believe it. I teach it to my children. Hopefully my grandchildren will also follow in those steps. We have certain things that we believe are very important to set ourselves apart from the world in so many different ways. But here's one that if we miss this one, we're in very big trouble. The presence of God in our lives. That's what's happening here to Israel. They found themselves into a predicament where they had been a stiff-necked, rebellious people, and God said, enough. And Moses made intercession, and he talked with God, and he pled for Israel, and he said, if you don't go up with us, then don't send us. It's not, he doesn't even want to, we don't want to do that. If you don't go with us, we're staying, we don't want to go. And God, he was entreated of by Moses, and he said, I will go with you. He's going to go up, and they're going to be a separated people because of that, because God was with them. And as you read further on in the events of all the things that happened, as all the Hebrews, all of Israel, they went through the wilderness there, God was in their midst, and the enemies around them, they knew it. They knew that God was there. They heard rumors, and they knew that God was with them, and they were afraid of them. They were afraid of the Israelites because they knew God was with them. Now, in our day, I believe we're on the other side of the cross here. It was a little bit different, but it has some similarities. The world should know that these people, God is with them. He's in their midst. And I believe that is the greatest separation that we'll ever, ever, ever have between the world and us, those that follow Christ this way. It's that separation that God is with us in our midst. He speaks with us. We hear his voice. He leads us. He guides us. He takes us through the wilderness. He guides us in this pilgrimage and this journey that we're on. He's with us. And I want to challenge you today. Do you sense that in your life? I ask myself these same questions. Lord, is this real for us? Are you right here with us? And I believe he is. I really do. But don't ever forget what we started with in the beginning of this was our sin will separate us from God. We have to take it to him. We have to confess it. We have to get rid of it. We have to deal with it so that God and his church don't get separated in a bad way. That sin needs to be dealt with. And I just tell you that with a pain in my heart, knowing that we have tendency to sin. We need to keep a clean slate. We need to keep short accounts with God. We need to get it right there and ask God, please forgive us. I'm sorry. Here we go again. Whatever it is, make it right with God so that we don't lose the very thing that separates us the most distinctly from the world. Now, I'm not downplaying all the other things. I know the way we dress, the things that we do, they are important. But if we don't have God in our midst, and I'm going to use a saying that you probably know better than so many other people. If we don't have God in our midst, it's like having the cart before the horse. The cart in front of the horse. It's crazy. It doesn't work. So may God bless you as you seek him and desire him to be right in your midst today and every day. God bless you.